Today on The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young.
Now we got a problem. Here we are, breath has left this body, shazam, we have a supernatural body, the like of which is the resurrected body of Jesus Christ, and we see there's identity, there's recognition, et cetera, an exposition, an explosion of our gifts. And now, where are we going to live? Man, I've got this supernatural body. Where will that body live throughout all eternity? This is the wonderful thing. It will live in a new heaven and a new earth.
The truth is, you can kiss your aches and pains goodbye. Welcome to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. Today, Dr. Young shares the conclusion to his message called A Super Body and shares how God will one day give you a resurrected body that's perfect and free from any pain. The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young begins in just a moment. Before we get to Dr. Young's message, it may seem like we're living in the end times, but as Christians, we don't need to fear the end of the world as we look to the proven truth of God's Word. Dr. Young wants to help you anchor your confidence in God's promises about the future with his five-message series, End Times. It'll encourage you with the certainty of life after death, the beauty of heaven, and the assurance that Jesus will return for his children. We'll send you a copy of End Times as thanks for your gift to help keep the proven truth of God's Word reaching you and people all over the world through this program. So call now to request your copy when you give. Call 1-800-350-WALK. 1-800-350-9255. You can also text the word winning to 41411. Text winning to 41411. We want to help you walk the winning walk with Christ every single day, so we've packed our website with practical resources to help you apply God's proven truth to your life, including books, Bible studies, and audio and video files. You can also sign up for Dr. Young's email devotional and even request personal prayer. So visit winningwalk.org for more of the proven truth and personal support you need. That's winningwalk.org. You can also follow your favorite program on Twitter. Our username is Winning Walk. That's Winning Walk. How has the Winning Walk impacted your life? Share your story with us by going to winningwalk.org/mystory. Now, here's Dr. Ed Young with today's message, A Super Body, Part 2.
And the answer is, yes, we'll have all five senses, but we'll have more senses than just five. And the five senses we have, what about the sense of hearing? My goodness, we hear something beautiful like the soloists and the choir today. Just think if our hearing was just maximize what we'd hear. We'd hear the chorus of angels. We would hear beyond our capacity. It would go on and on. Imagine to see. We see something beautiful. Imagine the sense of sight is intensified in density and in scope and understanding and in beauty. Imagine to smell. We could smell wonderful fragrances that we never smelled before. To taste. You think pecan pie and ice cream is good in heaven, our taste will just explode. You see, we take everything here is just a beginning, a sample of what we're going to realize in fullness to heaven. And we'll have more than five senses. Everybody here has more than five senses right now. We don't realize it. We have a sense of balance to various degrees. All of us do. You don't think about that. We have a sense of presence around us, even though we do not see a sense of presence. We have an understanding of where our arms and our bodies are without even thinking about it. We have a sense of time. We don't put that in the equation. We have a sense of pain. And imagine there are 100 or 200 more senses that we'll have in heaven as we're exploded in the reality in our resurrected body. Just imagine that. You say, well, explain some of those. How would you explain to somebody who's never heard what it means to hear? Try that. They've never heard anything. You try to explain to him, you know that, you try to explain to somebody who's never seen what it means to see. We see these studies with Helen Keller and other personalities. It's hard. How can we understand today the other senses we'll have available to us in our supernatural resurrected bodies? So the prototype is Jesus. We think, and there we are. We move. We're supernatural bodies. That's what we have to picture in heaven. We'll say, well, where do you get all of this stuff? Listen. Listen. Look in 1 Corinthians 15, just a few verses. It says it clearly. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body, supernatural body. If there is a natural body, there's also a spiritual body. The first man is from earth, earthy. The second man is from heaven. As the earthy, so also are those who are earthy. That's us. And as in heavenly, so also those who are heavenly. Just as we have borne the image of earthy, we'll also bear the image of heavenly. We have our earth bodies. We have our supernatural heavenly bodies. Those who are in Christ. What a day of rejoicing that will be. Now, let me say this in a memorable way. Does anybody in here think 1939, and the name Billy Batson? Does anybody know how that name came into a degree of prominence in 1939? Don't guess. Somebody said Billy the Kid. No. Does anybody know Billy Batson? Does that name mean anything? A sense of prominence? I'm going to give away a Honda if you can come up with this. Anybody? Billy Batson, 1939. Who said Captain Marvel? Get your Honda. Keith will give it to you after the service. It's one he's been driving for about 10 years now, I think. How in the world? I've asked that to already to about 10,000 people today. How did you know that?
I have 4,000.
You have what?
I have 4,000.
You have 4,000 comic books. He's very rich. Not really. Is that great? Captain Marvel. And he was a contemporary Superman. Absolutely. Captain Marvel could have beat up Superman, by the way. He really could. Captain Marvel had all these, all he had to say was, Billy Batson said, Shazam! You thought that was only Gomer Pyle, didn't you? That's Shazam! And all of a sudden, he's Captain Marvel. And he has wisdom, he has speed, he can fly, he's got supernatural speed. Let me say very reverently to you, very reverently, in another realm, exactly when we're in Christ and breath leaves our body and we receive a supernatural body with power, eternity with existence, it's almost like Shazam, Shazam. The Bible teaches. Now we got a problem. Here we are, breath has left this body, Shazam. We have a supernatural body, the like of which is the resurrected body of Jesus Christ. And we see there's identity, there's recognition, et cetera, et cetera, an exposition, an explosion of our gifts. And now, where are we going to live? Man, I've got this supernatural body. Where will that body live throughout all eternity? This is the wonderful thing. It will live in a new heaven and a new earth. It'll live right here in this domain, except the earth will go back to a pristine kind of existence. Now, let's get some absolutes built down, some biblical absolutes that you need to know. Look on your screen. Look at them. God made Adam and Eve to be spiritual and physical, And they were not human until they were both. Record that. God often took on human form in the Old Testament times. He was likely in human form as he walked in Eden. God took on a human body, becoming a man in Christ, not just temporarily, but forever. Listen to that. God took on a human form in Jesus Christ, second person of the Trinity. He became a human, a man, not just temporarily, but get this, forever. Remember, he said he'll be with us in Christ. Isn't that something? God raised Christ in a human body with physical properties, a body that walked, talked, ate, could be touched. He explicitly stated he wasn't a ghost. God made mankind in his image. Because humans are physical beings, though God is spirit, there must be something about our human bodies that reflects God's identity. Certainly, there's nothing about our bodies that repulses God, who created humanity as a crowning achievement. God's Holy Spirit indwells human bodies and calls them his holy temples. God will raise people with eternal, listen to this, physical, spiritual bodies that come down to inhabit the new earth with them. Look, heaven is not out there in another cosmos, another galaxy, or up there or over there. Heaven will be here, a new heaven and a new earth. Now, we're not going to deal with, don't ask me after the service, the little interim period that some talk about between death and eternity and our supernatural bodies and a supernatural new heaven and new earth, because that will come when Jesus comes and brings down the curtain of history. And some would talk about purgatory. But we're going to wait for that sequencing. Okay, would you do that? We're going to go back and talk about the timeless domain that I believe when Jesus said to the thief on the cross, today you'll be with me in paradise, you'll be with me in heaven. So we have a supernatural body. That body will live in this supernatural earth. But in the meantime, on this earth, there's a lot of groaning going on. Did you know this earth groans? It really does. Do you know there's groaning in you and me? What is that groaning? The earth and human beings, humanity, fell in the Garden of Eden. That is the great sin. That is in chapter 3. All of a sudden, Adam and Eve, who had open hands and bent knees before God, now they close their hands and they straighten out their knees because they said, I want to be a God. I want to run my own life. That is the ultimate basic sin that all of us are caught up in, and that's the basic sin of Adam and Eve. Close hands. Unbuilt knee. I'm going to make my choices of what I eat, where I go, how I live, and determine the destiny of my life. That is a fallenness. And when man fell, closed his hands, unbuilt knees, the whole creation fell. We live in a world that is under the curse of God, and we live in a human life under the curse of God. And we see what happens to this curse. How is it removed? And that comes to what Jesus Christ did on the cross. And you see evidence of the removal of that curse, where? In the scars of Jesus. Here you have the apostles, and they look at Jesus. They thought they were on a presidential campaign, and Jesus was going to be elected president. But once he was captured and once they saw those nails nailed in his hand, they said, look, it's not going to happen. But little did they know, those nails that left the scars did not mean the end, but it meant the beginning of their eternal salvation. Their eternal salvation. And so here we go, the groaning. I want you to read, not in the New American Standard, the King James, I want you to read Peterson's translation of this passage in Romans chapter 8. Tremendous. This resurrection life you receive from God is not a timid, grave-tending life. It's an adventurously expectant greeting God with a childlike, "What's next, Papa?" God's Spirit touches our spirits and confirms who we are, who we really are. We know who He is. We know what we are, Father and children, and we know we're going to get what's coming to us. Listen, an unbelievable inheritance. Look at the rest of it. And that's why I don't think there's any comparison between the present hard times and the coming good times. The created world itself can hardly wait for what's coming next. That's the groaning. Everything in creation is being more or less held back. God reigns it in until both creation and all the creatures are ready and can be released at the same moment into the glorious times ahead. Meantime, the joyful anticipation deepens the anticipation of the supernatural body in a supernatural world. In the meantime, did you know the earth is groaning? Listen to this recorded groan from different places on the earth. These are unexplained groans in the United Kingdom. That's the earth groaning. In Texas, similar sound. The scientists, they're not sure what this is. Tectonic plates rubbing, there's no explanation. Singapore, these are different times. This is heard mysteriously. Canada. What is that? Is it the earth groaning, wanting to go back to its pristine eternal existence? That is what will happen when Jesus comes, the new heaven and the new earth, and where we'll live in our supernatural bodies in this supernatural world. Let me tell you again about heaven. Everybody will become everything that God built into you and built into me to become. We'll be able to accomplish in heaven everything that we did not accomplish on this earth. And so many things we didn't have time to accomplish, we didn't have opportunity to accomplish, and because of things that happened in our background, we were unable to accomplish them. Understand this. Only those things that have died in you and in me will ever be resurrected. Only there has to be a death before there could be resurrection. What does that mean? My mother, God-fearing woman, stern, tough, disciplinarian, trouble-loving openly and genuinely, even myself as her son. In the process, I have looked back in my study at home. I have a picture of my mom there. And I look at her and I say, "Mom, boy, now in heaven, boy, you have killed those things that limited you, loving, limited you in this life." See, my mother was a very manipulative person. You say, "Well, how in the world? Why was she like that?" Because she was she had four sisters and four older sisters. She was the baby. When my grandfather died early in a little farm, my grandmother took those four daughters, moved to Laurel, Mississippi, and those five daughters, and four of them could go to work doing all kinds of things. My grandmother sewed. They lived very, very, very modestly. My mother went to school. So as the youngest child, she had to manipulate her older sisters to get clothes, to get means so she would have things. And so she got in the business of manipulation early in her life, and she carried that all the way through. So there was that lack of genuineness. And I looked at my mother's picture and I said, "Mom, in heaven now, isn't it grateful that manipulation has died? Isn't it grateful now in heaven you can love freely? Isn't it grateful in heaven you won't be limited with poverty and things that you did not have and things you could not do? Now you'll be able to spread your wings." You look at those who've gone ahead of you, brothers, sisters, aunts, uncles, friends, and you say, boy, what they could have been, what they should have been, what might have happened. In heaven, we will become and achieve all these things because all of that which limited us will be dead, and it will be resurrected again along with our bodies as we live in a resurrected body in a resurrected world. That is heaven. Boy, if we could see all those who graduated before us. So will there be any children in heaven? Absolutely. What would heaven be without kids? What about the little baby that never really saw life? Wouldn't it be thrilling to see that baby grow up in a perfect earth, in a super environment? Boy, that would be something to behold, wouldn't it? So I'm saying God in his equalizing, but God in his infinite wisdom will see that heaven is all and more than anything we could ever dream. Eye has not seen, ear has not heard, neither entered the heart of man what God has prepared for those who end up in love with him. You see, heaven is
real.
It absolutely is real. In thinking about this, I thought about Sammy Davis Jr. If you missed the gifted man that he was, and he did a little thing that I think is so great. It was in some kind of Broadway musical, and he sang, "If They Could Only See Me Now." Most of you wouldn't have heard of that. If they could, and he's singing that, I'm sure thinking about, boy, if his friends, his family could see what if. And I thought about, I said, you know, if we could look all the way into heaven and see those who've gone before us, and I imagine they would say, boy, if they could only see me now with this resurrected body in this resurrected world, what they would see. Who invented laughter? Who invented love? Who invented fun? Who invented friendship? Who invented celebration? Who invented dancing and shouting and praising? And who put all... Somebody has the idea that when you talk about heaven, the pastor has to have a stained glass voice. I'll tell you, brethren, we've got to talk about heaven. Man, heaven we know as we have been known. Heaven will be a time of celebration. And I'm sure those who are in Christ who've gone ahead of us, they said, oh, if they could see me now. C.S. Lewis preached a great sermon on heaven. He called it The Weight of Glory. And in this sermon, he said, if we'd see just ordinary folks in heaven today, they'd have such a weight of glory and a glow on them and a radiance on them, we would bow down and worship. We'd bow down and worship. Those unbent knees, just bend them. And all of a sudden in your life, now and forever, there will be that Shazam. Say it with me.
Shazam.
Shazam. Oh, if we could see ourselves then. What a day, what a moment, what a celebration. It is heaven.
You've been listening to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. We hope today's message has been a source of encouragement for you, and we'd love to help you anchor your confidence in God's promises by sending you Dr. Young's 5-message series called End Times. There's a lot of confusion in our world about what the future holds. As Christians, far too often we look for confidence in daily headlines instead of trusting God's promises. Dr. Young's 5-message series will help you grow in your assurance of what the Bible says about the future. You'll gain an in-depth understanding of topics such as death, the second coming of Christ, the great judgment, and the promise of heaven. We're excited to send you a copy of End Times as thanks for your gift to help keep the winning walk strong, encouraging you and people all over the world with the proven truth of God's Word. So call now to give and request your copy. 1-800-350-WALK. 1-800-350-9255. You can also text the word winning to 41411. Text winning to 41411. Thanks for being with us today on The Winning Walk. Listen in tomorrow as Dr. Young shares encouraging words about the unimaginable beauty you'll see in heaven.